O Lord, we do not know how the serpent Kaliya has attained this great opportunity of being touched by the dust of your lotus feet. For this end, the goddess of fortune performed austerities for centuries, giving up all other desires and taking austere vows. Nakapristam the Chasarava Bhomam, Naparamesyam the Sadipatyam, the Yoga Siddhira Punar Bhavamba, Vanchanti Yat Padra Chakrapanna. Those who have attained the dust of your lotus feet never hanker for the kingship of heaven, limitless sovereignty, the position of Brahma, or rulership over the earth. They are not interested, even the perfections of yoga or in liberation itself. O Lord, although this Kaliya, the king of the serpents, has taken birth in the mode of ignorance and is controlled by anger, he has achieved that which is difficult for others to achieve. Embodied souls who are full of desires and are thus wandering in the cycle of birth and death can have all benedictions manifested before their eyes simply by receiving the dust of your lotus feet. Purport. It is a very rare for a conditioned soul to free himself from the contamination of illusion and thus become established in perfect consciousness of the absolute truth. And yet this benediction was achieved by the serpent Kaliya because the Lord personally danced upon the serpent's hoods with his lotus feet. Although we conditioned souls may not receive the mercy having the Lord dance on our head, we can receive the dust of the lotus feet of the Absolute through the Lord's representative, the bona fide spiritual master, and thus go back home, back to Godhead, forever freed from the misery and ignorance of the mundane universe. Om Agyan Bhava, or the natural devotion of the Nagapatnis, the wives of Kaliya. What a complete difference there is between mundane relationships and relationships based on knowledge that we are the eternal servants of Sri Krishna. Because at this point, it appears that their husband is going to be killed. It appears that there's no hope for him. He was providing for them. He was their support. He was their security. In those days, if your husband dies, that means you become widow for the rest of your life. No man will ever have a woman that has been touched by another. And socially, it's the most horrible fate for a woman to become a widow, especially at young age. Generally, women pray to God, please protect my husband, because they do not want to be widow. But here we find the Nagapatnis, their husband Kaliya, who although very demoniac, was very powerful. And obviously, they were very much attached to him on the level of him being husband, protector. They were chaste and faithful wives in the highest order. But here they find that Kaliya is about to be killed by Krishna. They see their husband right before their eyes. He's on the verge of death. He's vomiting all poisons, terrible poisons. He can no longer even create fire within his heart, within his mind. He's completely beaten down, totally exhausted, inches from death, and Krishna's dancing. And every time he places his lotus foot on another of Kaliya's hoods, he comes that much closer to death. Seeing their husband in such a pitiable condition, about to lose everything of this material world, they are very happy. They are joyful. They are blissful, thinking our husband is very fortunate. What wife today, seeing her husband in such a condition, about to die, would start praising his good fortune? This is the difference between material consciousness and spiritual consciousness. They were thinking, our husband, what type of pious activities he must have performed in the past. Even people who perform the greatest pious activities don't get the chance to receive the dust from your lotus feet directly upon your heads. And if you kill our husband, they're thinking, this is wonderful, this is very good, this is the best. Let him die. This is your will. If you, my lord, want to take him away, then we know this is your perfect plan, and he will go back to Godhead, and we will be widows. But actually being widows is wonderful. Then we have no obligation except chanting your holy names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. And just doing your devotional service. This is a very nice plan. Take him, please. He's a rascal. Your mercy is perfect and complete. That whether he lives or whether he dies, by your darshan, he's becoming so purified. How fortunate is he? The great saints and sages, for lifetimes, they do severe tapasya and austerities just to approach the dust of your lotus feet. And generally, even after all of that, they never see your lotus feet. And the great devotees of the Lord, they surrender their entire lives. They take sannyas, they give up all their possessions, just with the hope that in some future life they will have some darshan of your lotus feet. And even the goddess of fortune herself, she had to perform tapasya for centuries just to attain the position of getting the touch of the dust of your lotus feet. And our husband, Kaliya, your dust is all over his heads. You're dancing upon his head with your lotus feet. Therefore, by your mercy, he is becoming purified of all of his material desires, of all of his sinful propensities. This is the power of the dust of the lotus feet of the Lord. Although, on one level, as Lord Sri Krishna was dancing upon Kaliya, it was so painful, it was terrible, it was an excruciating experience for him. He was suffering so much. But what was that suffering? That suffering was simply purification. As Krishna was dancing, all the poison within Kaliya was coming out. And as it was coming out, he was deathly sick. He was weak. He was in the most absolutely humiliating experience. When you receive the dust of Krishna's lotus feet upon your head, this is what happens. The lotus feet of Krishna are the most pure of all pure, and they must purify us. And this is the process of purification, that all the poison has to come out. And as it's coming out, it creates a terrible suffering experience. On every level, Kaliya was in total pain because of Sri Krishna. on one level, physically, can you imagine the pain? His skull was just being crushed at every step. Every time Krishna would very gracefully appear to softly touch him with his very, very soft feet. This is the power of Krishna. His feet are so soft, that the Brijvasis used to weep when he would go into the forest of Brijbhumi to herd the cows, thinking that the little pebbles may hurt his feet because they are so soft. Or perhaps even the grass, if it is too hard, it may make his feet uncomfortable, because they knew that there was nothing so soft as his lotus feet, nothing so gentle. But it is said that the Lord and his devotees, they are soft like a rose and hard like a thunderbolt. To the devotees, Krishna's lotus feet was soft like rose, very smooth, fragrant, and soft. But for the demon, Kaliya, those same feet were hard like thunderbolt. As he was dancing upon his heads, and his heads were very powerful. They were demoniac. After years and years in tapasya, he was able to appear in this form of a serpent with thousands of hoods. And each of those hoods was formidable. But Krishna was dancing upon them. And as he would dance, every time his foot would even touch the head of Kaliya, it was like a thunderbolt crashing, making him delirious, cracking his whole being. So physically, his head was being completely crushed. His bones were cracking. Because of Krishna's purifying experience, he was totally nauseous, seasick, vomiting, everything within him he was vomiting out. Everything inside of him was just coming out in his terrible, excruciating pain. So physically, he was in the absolutely most painful condition no one can even imagine. And mentally, Arjuna says in Gita, that for a man who has been honored, dishonor is worse than death. People are willing to endure and risk their own lives and all physical conditions of their life simply to protect their prestige in this world. Because to be dishonored is the most terrible pain. And the worst dishonor is in front of somebody that you love and want to impress. And every married man knows the most terrible possible dishonor is for outsiders to insult you, embarrass you in front of your wife. Huh? That is something no man can tolerate. Huh? Even the spiritual master should not speak anything against me in front of my wife. Huh? That is the woman's possessive nature. And a husband, even if the woman doesn't mind the husband, it's terrible. It's a fate worse than death. Can you imagine the embarrassing condition of Kaliya? All of his wives were standing watching, and here he is, this big, gigantic, formidable demon with all powers, and this little tiny boy, only a few years old, with a very soft, delicate body. He's completely crushing him, defeating him, making a fool out of him, and he's helpless. His whole prestige and ego is totally demolished. Therefore, his ego was in utter pain, and his physical body was in utter pain. On every level of material nature, he was suffering. But this was Krishna's process of purifying him. This is the result of one who attains the dust of the lotus feet of Krishna. Yasyaham anagrinnabi harishetadhanam shana. Krishna says, when I want to show my mercy to my devotee, I give him whatever he wants. But when I show my supreme compassion upon my devotee, I crush him. I put him in such a suffering, lamentable position that everything is taken away. His health, his wealth, all of his friends, all of his family members, everything is taken away. And that devotee, he or she has nothing and no one to turn to except me. And then my devotee calls out helplessly, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. And in that condition, takes shelter of me. And in taking shelter of me, finds the supreme love, the supreme bliss in all of creation. The ultimate treasure of life is the shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. But Rupa Goswami prayed, if you are attached to your family, friends, and love of this world, do not go to the bank of the Jamuna where Krishna is standing. Because once you see him, you will lose all your interest in everything of this world. So this is the nature of the dust of the feet of Krishna. They purify us. And how do they purify us? Sometimes by creating the most terrible situation in the material plane. But through the process of purification, we learn to take shelter of them. And once we take shelter of those lotus feet, then we become transcendental. Brahma bhuta prasanatma nasochati nakangshati samasarvesha bhuteshu madbhaktin labhateva. Then there is no more hankering or lamenting for anything of this world. We attain supreme joy. So the Nagapatnis, the wives of Kaliya, although they were obviously not great learned pundits or scholars of the Vedanta, they were simple wives, but they understood the essence, the conclusion of all knowledge. Sri Krishna Sharanam, that Krishna is my only shelter. In this way, they were very happy to see Kaliya in this position. And the most happy thing is under the conditions of being utterly defeated and humiliated and tortured by Krishna, he was actually becoming humble. It was the first time they've ever seen their husband in a humble state of mind. They were thinking, this is wonderful. He's becoming a Vaishnava. Today, wives, they want their husband, they're very worried. My husband, if he becomes too much associated with devotees, he may neglect his material responsibilities and not provide for me nice houses and nice jewelry and nice food and nice children and all these other things. Women are very much afraid when husbands become too serious about Krishna consciousness. Let him go to the temple just enough to become a little pious, because if he's more pious, he will naturally be more gentle and nice to me. But if he goes too much and associates with these brahmacharis like Tattva or Satyavrat, Bhagavan, Achyutananda, my God, what will happen to him? He will become detached. And if he becomes detached, then what about me? What will happen to me? That is the way the material-minded wife thinks. Even if she's a devotee, sometimes she thinks like this. But the Nagapatnis, they were actually really well-wishers of their husband. They were thinking, yes, he's being destroyed. If he's killed, we're widows, we have nothing. Or at the best, Krishna's making him into a Vaishnav. Krishna's making him a pure devotee. That means he's going to be completely detached from material life. He's no longer going to be concerned with providing us all luxuries. He's going to live a life of simple living, high thinking, because that's the way the Vaishnavas live. They were thinking, this is the most wonderful thing. Go on, Krishna, keep dancing upon his head. Well done, well done. So these Nagapatnis, such devotees they were. They were feeling ecstasy and joy to see their husband in this predicament. Either he will die and go back to Godhead, or he will become a very pure, detached, gentle Vaishnava, humble, and no longer be interested in sense gratification or providing us for sense gratification. Was their greatest joy. And they were praying to Krishna, you are so merciful, my Lord, that although this Kaliya, the king of the serpents, has taken birth in the mode of ignorance and is controlled by anger. He has achieved that which is difficult for others to achieve. Embodied souls who are full of desires and are thus wandering in the cycle of birth and death can have all benedictions manifested before their eyes simply by receiving the dust of your lotus feet. So one knows that we all have these propensities of Kaliya within us. We all have too much poison within us. But if we simply allow Krishna to dance upon us, we will become purified. I was explaining the other day, in the whole human body, the closest part of our body that is resembles a serpent's hoods is our tongue. Tongue is like a serpent within us. It's the only part of our body which every part of it could move without limbs and joints. Just like a serpent. A serpent can just, every part move. So the tongue is like a serpent. And the tongue that speaks anything but Krishna Katha is a venomous serpent. Criticism of Vaishnavas, Gramya Katha, it is like venom. It is like poison emanating from the hoods of this serpent-like tongue in our mouth. Huh? But when we chant the holy names, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. We invite Krishna to dance upon the hoods of this serpentine tongue. So just as Krishna was dancing on Kaliya, purifying his whole life, if we chant the holy names seriously, Krishna will dance upon our tongue. And in dancing upon our tongue, he will completely purify our whole lives. And it is explained here that just as Kaliya was purified 5,000 years ago by the dust of the feet of Sri Krishna, Krishna is manifesting his dust in this world through his name and through his devotees. Naisham matis thavaru rukramangrim Prishatyanartha Pagamoyadartha Mahiya Sampadara Jobi Shekam Iskinchana Nam Navranita Yavat. Prahlad Maharaj explains that no one has ever been able to give up material desires and attain Krishna consciousness unless they have been taken shelter of the dust of the feet of the Vaishnavas, and unless they bathe themselves, cover their entire bodies with the dust of the feet of the Vaishnavas. He told his father, Hiranyakashipu, no one can attain Krishna without doing this. Because the Vaishnavas are Krishna's representatives. Factually, their lotus feet are none different than the lotus feet of Krishna. Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Viran Swami Nityanam. This means we take shelter of Srila Prabhupada because he has surrendered to Krishna. Therefore, his lotus feet are none different than Krishna's. So a devotee of the Lord is always anxious to find the lotus feet of Krishna and to take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, to become purified by the mercy of Krishna through the lotus feet of Sri Guru Maharaj and those divine servants of Sri Guru Maharaj. And what does it mean to take shelter of the dust of the lotus feet of the Vaishnava? Let us analyze what is the meaning of the dust of the lotus feet. The feet are the lowest part of the body. They're considered the dirtiest part of the body. In Vaishnava etiquette, if you touch someone with your foot, it is considered an offense. You have to take the dust from their feet. You are not allowed any other part of your body, practically, you can place books or you can place some sacred object on, but you can never touch any sacred object with your feet. And you're not allowed to expose your feet sitting down toward the deities or toward any saintly person. So the feet are the lowest part of the body. And the dust of the feet is what is even below the feet. Yet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prayed, "Ai nanda tanuja kinkaram patita mambisha meva bambuva kripayatava pada panchaka stita duli sadrisham vichandaya." He is praying, "Let my goal in life is just to be one little atomic particle of dust on your feet, Sri Krishna." That to approach the dust of the feet of the Vaishnavas means to become the most menial, humble servant of that personality. That is the only true understanding of achieving the dust of the feet of the Vaishnavas. It means to be accepted as his most menial, lowly servant. In this material world, everyone wants to be master. Everyone wants to be controller. Everyone wants prestige. You cannot achieve the dust of the feet of a Vaishnava as long as we have this mentality. Only if we approach that I am nothing, I am yours, I will do anything for you. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he approached his guru, he presented himself as a great fool. Sanatana Goswami presented himself as a great fool. And until Arjuna presented himself as a total fool, he could not receive the feet of Krishna. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna would not speak to him until he had this consciousness of utter humility and submissiveness. So when we become completely submissive and desirous to serve in any way, not in some big grand way, but even in the most menial way, we read in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhavendra Puri had so many powerful, great disciples. Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Acharya, Brahmananda Bharati, Paramananda Puri. So many powerful speakers, pure souls, who could influence the whole world. Ishwara Puri was a very simple man. But it is described that while Madhavendra Puri was in his last days, on what we call his deathbed, he was such an invalid, he could not even stand up. Ishwara Puri was just throughout the day and night just massaging his body, massaging his feet. When his Gurudev would pass stool or urine, with his own hands, with great love and care, he would clean his body. And throughout the day and night, he would be chanting the glories of Lord Sri Krishna. Such a menial service. Because he was such a menial servant of his Gurudev, he was the most empowered of all of the disciples, and he was given the right to initiate Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord himself. So to approach the dust of the feet of the Vaishnavas is not just some poetic expression, but it is a way of life. It is a life of utter humility and service. The dust of the feet of the Vaishnavas are represented by the process of humble devotional service. And through such humble devotional service to the spiritual master and the Vaishnavas, the more we engage in that service, the more we are being bathed in the dust of their feet. And that dust will purify us of all material attachments. And as we're being purified, sometimes we have to go through great suffering because all the poison starts coming out. Some devotees think, "I have come to this Krishna consciousness movement looking for peace and joy and love. And I've come to this movement and my life is in chaos, worse than ever. I'm in anxiety." Huh? This is the proof that the process is working. That means all the poisons, everything impure is coming out because you are becoming the humble servant of the Vaishnavas. So we should not be worried, we should not be afraid, we should be grateful. Let it be. Huh? Let it be. And the Nagapatnis, as true devotees of the Lord, they were finding great bliss and compassion to see their husband being purified. Because they actually loved him. Because only a Vaishnava can love somebody. they loved the soul of Kaliya. And they were finding great, great joy seeing that that soul was going back to Godhead by the mercy of Krishna. Such a good fortune, such an unlimited good fortune. So as we are humbly serving the Vaishnavas and Guru, we should know that Krishna's lotus feet are upon our heads through their mercy. Through the process of devotional service, we are bathing ourselves in the dust of the feet of Krishna. And we should understand that anything Krishna does to purify us is our good fortune. And with a grateful, thankful heart, we should chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Is there any questions?
Maharaj, the way the Nagapatnis and his wife and their husband, they were feeling it that whatever the Krishna is doing on them, it is better, although he might die also. The same problem, we go in material world, we have that problem, saying that our parents who are not at all spiritual minded, sometimes Krishna used to do all sorts of things on them just to make them Krishna conscious. They used to crush their ego, health-wise they are somewhat shaken up. They have all sorts of problems on them. On material angle, we just have to serve them. We just go out, we just help them. But what should be our consciousness at that time? That should we feel it that let them be crushed more and more and more so that he will be purified? Or should we just have some different consciousness and just go out and just serve him as it is, as a materialistic son used to do for their parents? What should be our consciousness altogether? Should we feel it that let him leave the body by that way if he is able to go to back to God, or I mean he can be so to say purified, or should we have a different consciousness altogether?
You should do whatever will help that person come closer to Krishna. If we give up our devotional service, then we are abandoning our greatest duty to our parents, which is to help them become Krishna conscious. But at the same time, if by performing particular mundane duties, if it helps them to appreciate your being a devotee more, then that is a great service. But if it has no value, then what is the use? So we have to think in terms of our guru's mission, what is best for preaching, how to behave. And we also have to think in terms of what is best for this person. If they appreciate a Vaishnava, they appreciate Krishna. If they appreciate you, they appreciate your guru and all of the Vaishnavas around you. And to that degree, they appreciate, to that degree, they become purified. So we should try to act in such a way that they will appreciate. But we always have to simultaneously be very aware that this does not divert our attention toward becoming materialistic and giving up our service attitude and giving up our sadhana. Because if you give up those things, even if they appreciate you, they make no advancement. Huh? There's no value in appreciating someone who is not sincerely performing sadhana in Krishna consciousness. But there is a tremendous, infinite value in appreciating someone who is giving his life in the service of Guru and Gauranga. Does this answer?
What are the different ways the poison comes out through us? What are the different ways the poison comes out through us?
Whatever comes into our life, if we are sincerely following the path of the previous acharyas and performing our service to the Vaishnavas and Sri Gurudev, then whatever comes into our life, we should accept the mercy of the Lord for our purification. It could come when you are joyfully dancing in kirtan, the poisons are being removed. When you are blissfully associating with devotees, hearing Krishna katha, the poisons are being removed. When we are jubilantly engaging in doing our service, whatever it may be, and showing compassion to other living beings, the poison is being removed. When we're deathly sick, nauseous, insulted, depressed, dejected, abandoned, insulted, the poisons are being removed. As long as we know that we are performing our sadhana correctly by chanting the holy names, following the regulative principles, and as long as we know that we are submissively serving Guru and Vaishnavas, then we can understand that whatever comes into our life, happiness, distress, honor, dishonor, pleasure, pain, it is all Krishna's mercy to extract the poison from our hearts. Poison of egoism, the poison of lust and anger and envy and greed and pride and illusion. Any other questions? Hare Krishna, thank you very much. You all know Sarvabhauma Prabhu? Yes? You have all met? Huh? Acha. He made everyone jubilant with his thunderbolt words. But when Sarvabhauma dances, we're going to have to pray to Anantashesha to maintain the floor of this temple. His dancing will force us to think of Krishna. I remember at the Brahmachari Ashram in New Vrindavan, the floor was so weak that when 20 or 30 devotees would be jumping and dancing, the whole floor would literally move about 6 inches down every time everyone would go up and down. And if you go in the kitchen was right under the temple. It was a wooden house. There was no steel, no metal, no cement. It was all wood. And it was about 150 years old. And when you would go down, you would literally see the whole floor just coming down toward your head, like going vroom, 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 vroom. And in those days, there was all cockroaches living in the rafters. And when the devotees would dance, thousands of cockroaches, like rain, would just start coming out of the rafters, being pushed out by the dancing forces. And everybody was afraid to be in the kitchen during kirtan, because at any minute they thought the floor would collapse. And for years, it went on like this. And even the beams, the wooden beams, they were all cracked. And you would hear them going, And if you didn't want to dance, you had to dance. Just by standing in the temple room, the floor would just go down and come up and it would push you into the sky. It was like being in a trampoline. Huh? But somehow or other, years and years and years, and that floor never broke. It never caved in. So we had a complete conviction that Anantashesha was somehow or other holding up the floor and allowing us to continue dancing. Otherwise, materially, one kirtan would have destroyed such a floor, but there were two kirtans a day for years upon years. But yet, that floor is still perfectly intact even to this day. This is the proof of Krishna consciousness. If we were doing some mundane dance, that floor would have caved in within minutes. But because we are chanting the holy name, all the support of Krishna's mercy was holding us up. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna,